Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 1 of 1 John. Now, John, beginning with verse 1 in this epistle, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, that which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, he wrote earlier. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that Word which was in the beginning with God, and who was God, was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And that's the one he's talking about here. And we beheld his glory. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard. We heard him. Which we've seen. We beheld his glory. I saw him, he said, with my eyes. Which we've looked upon. And our hands have handled. Our Lord said, reach hither thy hands. And touch my hands and my side. And be not faithless, but believe. He said, I've handled him. The word of life. And then in parenthesis, he said, for the life, Christ is the life, was manifested. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested. In human flesh, it was manifested. The life, which is the light and life of all men, walked this earth. We've seen it. And bear witness. And show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father from the beginning. I was daily his delight, he said, and was manifested to us. Now, verse 3, that which we've seen, and he says it over and over again, we've seen and heard, declare we unto you. We preach Christ. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father. This is the fellowship I'm talking about. The family of God. Not a religious organization, denomination, association. This is the family of God I'm talking about. Our fellowship is with the Father. And with his Son, Jesus Christ. This, when our Lord prayed in Gethsemane, and when he prayed that high priestly prayer, wherever it was, he said, thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life. That eternal life, that I should give it. To all that you've given me. And this is life eternal. This is it. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. And verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is it. What's the message? Verse 5, this is the message. Do you have a word for this world? Oh, yes, it's the same word that John had for this world. This, then, is the message. This is the message which we've heard of him. We saw him, we heard him, our hands handle him of the word of life, that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested us. We saw him. We heard him. Our hands touched him. We beheld him. This is what he said. This then is the message which we heard of him, and we declare unto you. I have no other message. I have no other reason to be here. It's his message which we heard of him, and we declare unto you. And this is what it is. Now listen to it. Listen carefully. That God is light. This then is the message that he told us, which we heard of him, and we declare unto you. And this is it. God is light. And in God there's no darkness at all. Let this be established. This is the message. What does this mean? It means this. God is holy. That's what John is saying here. This is the message that we heard from him, in which we declare unto you that God is holy, God is just, God is righteous, God is verity and truth, God is exact in his judgment. He is righteous. And in him there's no darkness at all. There's no alloy. There's no compromise. There's no clearing of the guilty. He requires absolute perfection. He can accept no less. This then is the message that we heard of him and declare to you, that God is holy, God is light, God is truth. And in him there is no error, there is no untruth, there is no compromise, there is no alloy. It's pure, perfect holiness. That's the message. You see, this is what Job and his friends wrestled with. Over and over again in the book of Job. You want to turn over there just a moment to Job chapter 9. This is what they wrestled with. In Job chapter 9, verse 1, Job answered and said, I know it so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? I know God is holy. One word that identifies the living God is holiness. God is holy. This is a holy Bible. His angels are holy angels. He's in his holy temple. The seraphims and cherubims cry, holy, holy, holy. The high priest had on his mitre, holiness to the Lord. He dwelleth in a light to which no man can approach. He said to Moses, you cannot look upon me and live, because I'm holy. His tabernacle is called the Holy of Holies. That's what John said. This is the message. God is holy. And that's what Job, look at Job chapter 15. They kept asking this question. How can man be just with God? Job 15, verse 14, what is man that he should be clean? Job 15, 14, what is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of woman, that he should be righteous. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints, yea, the heavens are not clean in God's sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? Turn to Job 25. Listen to this. Job 25, verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon it shineth not. The stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm. You understand what I'm saying? Go back to the text. 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message we heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light. God is holy. And in him there's no darkness at all. No compromise. No unrighteousness. No untruth. Nothing that worketh or maketh a lie. Pure, perfect holiness. Now, verse 6. So if we say, and there are a whole lot of folks that say this today, if we say that we have fellowship with him, we say that we know this God, that we talk to this God, and he talks to us, we walk with this God, and he walks with us, and we walk in darkness, we're lying. And we do not the truth. Because he said, this God is light. And in him there is no darkness. No darkness walks with him. Now, if a person today, it doesn't matter in the pulpit or the pew, religious or otherwise, if he claims that he walks with God, he may walk with his God or a God. But John says God, the living God, the almighty God, the God who made the heavens and earth is holy. He is holy. He is light. In him there is no darkness. And there's no place for darkness. There's no room for darkness. There's no entrance of darkness. He's light. And if we say that we have fellowship, fellows in the same ship with him, and we walk in the darkness of human nature and worldliness and the darkness of unbelief and ignorance and the darkness of traditional religion and the darkness of our self-righteousness and the darkness of our imagination and the darkness of our thoughts, we're lying. It's impossibility. It's an impossibility. God is holy. And any man who has a true knowledge of God and true fellowship with God and a true relationship with God must be holy. Isn't that right? He must be light. What is our light? What is our righteousness? What is our holiness? Where is our righteousness and holiness? What is it that we claim? What is it that we have? What is it that we say that we have that equips us and enables us to have a union and a fellowship and a relationship with God? Now, Bob and I have a relationship, a friendship, a fellowship. But we're just alike. He's a human being, I'm a human being. He's a man, I'm a man. He likes the things I like the things he likes. Same thing with many of you. But God's not a man. God's not a man. God is God. God is white. He said, this is the message. Do you hear me, John said? This is the message I got from Christ. And I'm passing it on to you. God is holy. God is light. In him there is no darkness. And if we say that we're one with him, we walk with him, we talk with him, he talks with us, we have fellowship with him, we're moving in the same direction, we're pals, we're buddies, we're friends, and I have all this darkness of ignorance and unbelief and flesh and religion and tradition, and I think, I imagine, I believe, I somewhat think, I'm a liar. And the truth's not in me. Well, is it possible for a man to walk with God? Yes, sir. But he's got to be in the light, too. Is it possible for man to have fellowship with God? Yes, sir. Yes, it is. If he's like God, if he has God's nature, if he has God's holiness, if he has God's righteousness, if he has God's truth, if he's God's nature begotten in him, then he can walk with God. And here it is in verse 7. But, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we've got to walk in the same light as he's in the light. Then we have fellowship with him, with one another. This one another is not fellowship between you and me. That will be there if we're both in him. But we have fellowship with him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in holiness as he is in holiness, if we walk in righteousness as he's in righteousness, we have fellowship one with another, God with us. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The only way I can walk with God is to have no sin. Isn't that right? The only way that I can know God, see God, have fellowship with God is to be in the light of God's holiness and have no sin. And where do I get that? In Christ. Let me show you that in John 1. Turn over here to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And this then is the message. In John chapter 1 verse 6. Listen to it. There was a man, John chapter 1, verse 6, there was a man whom God sent from God, whose name was John. And that John, that same man, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. The light. Capital L-I-G-H-T, the light, Christ. That all men through him, through that light, might believe. John was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. That one of whom he bore witness, he was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in this world, and the world was made by him, and the world didn't know him. He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, the light, to them gave he the power, the right to become sons of God. He's my light. He's my holiness. He's my righteousness. He's my acceptance. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of natural genealogy, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Let me show you this again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Old Augustus Toplady, who wrote Rock of Ages. He lived in 1740, died 38 years of age. Great preacher. He took an oddly strange mathematical approach to sin. He wrote one time that we sin every second. Every second. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004 sins, 1,005 sins, 1,006 sins, 1,007 sins, every second. Some thought, some imagination, some motive, some direction, some... In fact, he said if a man lived to be 80, he's guilty of 2.5 billion sins. 2.5 billion sins. No wonder he wrote, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin, the double cure, save from wrath. Save from wrath and make me pure. Because I can't walk with God unless I'm as holy as God. All sin. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? These for sin could never atone. Christ must save. Christ alone. 2 Corinthians 4, look at this. Verse 3, our gospel be hid. It's hid to them that are lost. See, this is what men do not see. They do not see the holiness of God. This, then, is the message. God is light. In Him there's no darkness. God is light. No compromise. No bending. Well, I think God will overlook. No, sir. God is light. And the only way that I'm ever going to approach God, have fellowship with God, be received of God, is to be in that light, in that holiness, in that righteousness, and that's in Christ, except in the Beloved. And that's hid to this generation. They make their decisions, they reform, they turn over a new leaf, they join the church, they get religion, they give a little money, they do all these things, and they're still in darkness, ignorance, self-righteousness. Paul said that about the Jews. He said, I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're ignorant of God's holiness. They're ignorant that God is light. There's no compromise. And they're going about to establish their own righteousness, to establish their own light. And he walks in his own light, and the sparks of his own light walks in darkness. I've got to have His light. And He sent that light. John bore witness of that light. Look at verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4. These people to whom this gospel is hid, the God of this world, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. He's the image of God. You see that? For we preach not ourselves, we preach Christ the Lord. We preach not ourselves in our works and our deeds and our religion and our denomination and our way and our salvation. We preach Christ the Lord. We're just servants. Ourselves, your servants for Christ's sake. Verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Back yonder when this world, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And in my darkness of sin and religion, tradition, custom, works, professions, decisionism, rededication, tithing, Sabbath keeping, in my darkness, God is light. He said, let there be light. For God, who commanded that same light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the holiness and glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. That's where it is, Tom, right there. I have fellowship with God. I have fellowship with God because Jesus Christ, my Lord, the light of God, the glory of God, the holiness of God, the perfection of God, came down here in my place and stayed and gave me a holiness. And He cleansed me of all my sin. You see that down here in 1 John 1, verse 7? Oh, verse 5, He said, this is the message. God is light. Christ didn't come down here to change God. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I didn't come to take the edge off the law. I didn't come to make the law where you could keep it. I didn't come to fix God so He could overlook your sins. I came to fulfill it. Didn't come to destroy the law. God is light. He was light before Christ came. He's the same light when He was here. He's the same light after He left here. Truth and holiness. No compromise. Christ didn't change God, He changed us. He made us holy. God doesn't change, He's immutable. And these preachers and religious folks today have closed the Bible and set it aside, and they're standing in front of television cameras and microphones telling what they think. Telling people what to do to get to God. There's nothing you can do to get to God. Christ did it. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God.
And what he did, he didn't make the way easier. He made us holy. That's right.
Look at verse 7. If we walk in the light of Christ as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. And that's the only way God can accept us and receive us is to be sinless. In Christ there's no sin. Our sins are gone. He said, I separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. I remember them no more. I blot them out. Now look at verse 8. Now if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. What is that sin? Verse 8, if we say we have no sin. It doesn't say if we have no sins. It says if we say we have no sin. You know what that is? That's the root of evil. That's the nature of evil. That's original sin. If we say we didn't participate with Adam in his fall, we deceive ourselves, the truth not in us. We've got a nature of sin. What we do is because of what we are. And one of our major problems between us and God is not what we do, it's why we do it. That's the reason prayer can even be a sin. Giving can be a sin if it's given from the wrong motive. Why we do it. That's right. And if we say that root of sin is not in us, that nature of sin is not in us, that nature of Adam's not in us, we're deceived. Truth's not in us. And look at verse 10. Skip verse 9 a moment. Look at verse 10. If we say we've not sinned, if we say we have not sinned in word, in thought, in deed, in imagination, motive, well, we make God a liar because he said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. His word's not in us. Now, the believer doesn't love sin. He hates sin. The believer wants to be free from sin. The believer admits his sin. He doesn't justify his sin. He doesn't excuse his sin. Our Lord taught us to pray every day, forgive us of our sins. Isn't that what he taught us to pray? He taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our sins. Every day. You see, sin pollutes the best thing we do. The highest degree of goodness to which we can attain is marred by sin. That's so. Sin even invades our prayers. If we say that's not true, we make God a liar. I say to every religious person in this world, if I could have this world as an audience today, this is the message. God is holy. And we're sinners. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by choice. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And if we say we have not sinned, S-I-N-N-E-D, this very moment, we make God a liar. But thank God for verse 9. Look at it. Here's the good news. If we confess our sins, confess them to whom? Go in one of these little booths and talk in the ear of a man? No, sir. If we confess them to him. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth his sin and forsaketh them will find mercy. If we confess, now watch it, our sins. We got no business confessing anybody else's. David said, my sins are ever before me. My sins. I acknowledge my transgressions. Against thee have I sinned. If we confess our sins, look at this, he's faithful. He's faithful to his promise. He's faithful to his covenant. He's faithful to his son. He's faithful to the sacrifice of Calvary. He's faithful to his word. And what's this next word? And just. Now, my friends, that's the key to the gospel right there. How can God be just and justify the ungodly? That's the key.
And this is what I'm saying is the missing note in this day. How can God be just? God, this is the message. God is just. Well, how can he be just and justify me? This is the message. God is holy. How can he be holy and have something to do with me? God is light. How can God be light and mess around with darkness? Now, if you find that out, you'll find out the gospel. Because he who is just, he died the just for the unjust. Ananias told Paul, God has ordained that you should see the just one. He said, I'm a just God and a Savior. The just one came down here and was made sin for the unjust, that the unjust might be made just. He who is holy came down here and was made sin. But he obeyed the law, too, and gave us a holiness. So in Christ, I'm just. Hold that right there and turn to Colossians 1. Listen to this. I tell you, this is the message. God is light. If we say we have fellowship with him walking in darkness, we're not telling the truth. Here it is, Colossians 1:19. This is so important, so very, very important. Hear me. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness, holiness, righteousness, justice dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were at one time alienated, enemies in your mind. That's where our problem is, by wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death to present you. The only way God can receive you, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's the only way you can have fellowship with God. And I hear these holiness people say, we don't sin, we're holy. Well, that's two lies. They do sin, they're not holy, if they're resting in their righteousness. We say, we're holy in Christ, and we do sin. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But our holiness is not in our abstinence from certain worldly rules and regulations. Our holiness is in Christ. That's how you can have fellowship with God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're clean. You're clean. We're sanctified by his word and by his blood. And this brings me to my last point, chapter 2, verse 1. And my little children, that's what he calls believers, little children. These things I write unto you that you sin not. You know, people say, well, Brother Mahan, you've made a statement there. Y'all be careful saying things like, let me tell you something. You don't ever have to be careful with the truth. Preach it. Preach it. You don't need to defend a lion. Just turn him loose. It's silly defending a lion. Don't defend a lion. Turn him loose. Turn the gospel loose. And what I said is so. In Christ we're holy, spotless, righteous. But tell the truth, you do sin. You don't like it. You don't love it. You don't excuse it. You'd like to be perfect, but you're not, and I'm not either. I'm not either. But we're exhorted not to sin. Not to sin. As Spurgeon one time said, what do you want more than anything in all the world? What do you want more than anything in all the world? He said, I want to be like God. That's what I want. And someday I will be. But the Apostle Paul said, the things I would do, I don't do them. And the things I would not do, I do them. And what I would like to be, I'm not. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But I'm not what I used to be.
But he says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. Crucify the flesh, mortify the flesh, put down the flesh. Listen, and if any man sin, thank God, we not only had a Savior, we have a Savior. We have an advocate. Now listen to me. It does not say if any man sin, he's lost. I didn't say that, does it? My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, well, he's fallen from grace. No. He's lost now. No. He's backslid. He's got to get saved over yet. No. He's forfeited his inheritance. No. He's no longer a son of God. No. If any man sin, he has an advocate. You know who needs an advocate? Let me ask you a question. When you're watching television, and you know, I told Arthur that, I said, you know, when I was years ago, I don't remember hospitals advertising or lawyers advertising. Do you remember? But you see, they're always advertising a lawyer. And, well, I don't pay attention to it because I don't need one. I don't need a lawyer. But I'll tell you something. If I broke the law, I'd need one. Wouldn't I? If I got in trouble tonight and broke the law, I'd need a lawyer. And you know who? I'd get the best one I could get. I wouldn't be satisfied with no law school graduate. I'd want a real old white-haired veteran, wouldn't you? One that had won a lot of cases just like mine. You know who needs a lawyer? Guilty man. You know who needs an advocate? You need one? You need an advocate? Why? You're guilty. My soul, that's so simple, isn't it? That's the only way I know to preach. It's simple. It doesn't say if any man be holy, he has an advocate. What does he need with an advocate? It doesn't say if any man be perfect, he needs an advocate. He doesn't need an advocate. It doesn't say if any man's righteous, he has an advocate, he doesn't need one. If any man sin, we have an advocate. Sinners need an advocate. Sinners need an intercessor. Sinners need a lawyer. Sinners need somebody to mediate for them. And when you sin, the same one who came down here because he loved you and gave you a perfect righteousness and died for your sin, he's the one that ever liveth to make intercession for you. He's the one that pleads your case. He's Jesus Christ. That's who he is. We have an advocate. He's with the Father. Now, I'll tell you, just anybody can't go in a courtroom and represent somebody. It has to be approved. Isn't that right? I think I'm right in that. I think the fellow that represents you has to be approved of the court. My lawyer, my advocate, he was selected, he was accepted, he was exalted, he's my court-appointed advocate. God Almighty made him my advocate. That's right. And that goes back to this, when I started this whole thing a while ago, John said, eternal life was manifested, and I saw him, and I heard him, and my hands touched him. That eternal life which was with the Father was manifest to us. And this is the message that I heard from him, and I deliver unto you, that God is holy. God is light. In him there's no darkness. Don't slip around. It's the full glare of his full holiness. You're not ready to meet it. To which no man can approach. But he said the light came, Christ Jesus, and he cleansed us from our sins. And he gave us a righteousness, and he took us to the Father. And in him, we have fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. All right, let's sing a hymn, Mike, if you will.